Now we turn tonight for a reading of God's Word to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8. And we're going to commence the reading at verse 12. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and reading from verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Now we'll end our reading there at the end of verse 27, and again we look to God to bless this public reading of his own word. Last Sunday night, as we looked at Jesus and John, we were looking at the woman who was taken in adultery. You may remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was in the temple and he was preaching and teaching the people when there was a great commotion. The scribes and the Pharisees, who were his enemies and who sought at every opportunity to undermine the ministry of the Savior, they gathered around him to test him again. And they had brought to him a woman who was taken in the act of adultery. This, of course, was a most serious offense. From a legal point of view, she had broken the law and she should have been stoned to death. Of course, the Pharisees were not really interested in the woman or what she had done. If they had have been concerned about what she had done, they would have brought with her the man that she had committed adultery with, because the law said that both of them, not just the one of them, should have been put to death. They were condemning this woman for her sin. But very soon they were searched by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he exposed them for everything that they were. And one by one, they left that scene until the woman was left standing alone with Christ. He then turned her attention to her sin. He didn't condone what she had done. But at the same time, the Lord Jesus Christ challenged her and gave her the opportunity to put it right. He told her to go and to sin no more. Of course, it's good for us from time to time to be confronted about our sin, about our true state in the sight of God, because if we're not confronted with that, and if we don't see ourselves as we really are, then we'll never see our need of God's salvation. The reality is that all of us, whoever we are and whatever age we are and whatever background we have come from this evening, we're all sinners as far as God's word declares. And as a result of that, we all need to be forgiven. And our sister has reminded us this evening, we stand forgiven at the cross. We need to come in repentance and in faith. We need to turn from our sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if we do that, then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse us from all our sin. It doesn't matter how deep down in sin we might be. Doesn't matter the mess that we have made of these lives of ours. It doesn't matter the things that have happened that others know absolutely nothing about. God knows all about them because God knows all about us. And if we're willing to come with all our sin and our shame, God tonight is waiting and he's ready to forgive us. I want to move on with these verses tonight in John chapter 8, and I want to look at this text that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of, particularly in verse 12. We see the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world. Here's what he says. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want to turn your thoughts first of all to a startling declaration. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus again turns his thoughts to those who had gathered in the temple to hear him teach. They had been there when he was approached by the scribes and Pharisees. They had watched as Jesus had dealt very compassionately and admirably with the woman who had been taken in adultery. They had watched as he dealt effectively with the scribes and Pharisees and as he exposed them for what they were, because in reality they were a bunch of pious hypocrites. But now he turns to the people who were gathered in the temple, and lest they haven't grasped the importance of all of this, Jesus turns around and he says to them this amazing statement. He says, I am the light of the world. If you're familiar with John's Gospel, you'll know that this is the second of the I Am titles that the Lord Jesus Christ uses to speak about himself and the nature of his ministry. Already in John 6, verse 51, he had said this. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. That was the first one. And now here is the second one. In the presence of these people, the Lord Jesus Christ further declares, he says, I am the light of the world. You might say to me tonight, well, why is this statement so important? What is it that the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to say to the people who were gathered with him in the temple? And what is it that God is trying to say to your heart and to mine this evening through these verses that we've just read together? Well, first of all, it explains prophecy. We know that in the Old Testament scriptures there are many references that are made to Israel's coming Messiah. And not only that, each one of those references, they refer to different aspects of his life and his ministry. We know also that he would be sent by God, and there were many things that he was going to do, things that would authenticate his ministry and show that he had indeed been sent forth into the world by God for the saving of these people. One of the things, of course, was that he would bring light into a darkened world. Another was that he would bring light to darkened souls. Now the Lord Jesus Christ has already referred to this. He has already challenged these people about being Israel's Messiah. And because of that, there were some who believed him, but there were many who still doubted him. And now he describes himself to these people as the light of the world, and he is declaring who he is and what it is that God has sent him to do. He is showing himself to be the one spoken of by the prophets, for in fact he is the fulfillment of prophecy. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. Isaiah had said this of the Messiah in Isaiah 42, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." And now Jesus looks at these people, and he's teaching them. And he's following on from everything that has happened with the woman that has been taken in adultery. And he says, if you are waiting for the Messiah, if you're waiting for the one whom God has sent into the world to be your Savior, to bring you from darkness into light, then you need to look no further than me. I'm the one whom God has sent. I am the light of the world. So in speaking to these people, Jesus is confirming the word of God through the prophets and declaring to them that he is their Messiah. It explains prophecy. The second thing is it expresses deity. For when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he is making an astonishing claim. He's claiming absolute deity. He's claiming to do something and to be something that God alone was recognized to be. He is claiming equality with God. Remember that the scriptures tell us this, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now Jesus says to these people, I am the light of the world. And in effect, what he's saying to the people is simply this, something he said on another occasion in a different way. He is saying that I and my Father are one. That was something that these people found very hard to accept. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ was reminding them of who he was. He was reminding them of everything he had come to do so that these people were without excuse whatsoever. They wouldn't accept what Jesus said. They wouldn't accept what Jesus did. They wouldn't accept the claims that he made. But at the same time, these people were without excuse. It explains prophecy. It expresses deity. And the third thing is this, it extends to humanity. And this is the important thing, and this is something that we need to grasp. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, we need to know exactly what it is that he's saying. Some people, of course, will say that if he's the light of the world, then if the whole world is living in darkness, we're all going to receive that light. That's not so. For we have already learned in John's Gospel prior to these verses, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Don't you ever imagine that because God loved the world and sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, that the whole world is going to receive? It's not like that. Don't you think for one moment, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world and has come into the world to give himself on the cross that you and I might be saved, that all of us are going to be saved? It's not like that either. Those who benefit from this light are those who believe in Jesus Christ, who trust him as their Savior, and who walk in the light. Do you know why some of you are not yet saved? Do you know why some of you have not yet come to the place of repentance and given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's as simple as this, that men love darkness rather than light, and you're numbered amongst them, and that's why you're still not saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the one who was sent by God to bring light to a darkened world. He's the one who can enlighten men and women and bring them from darkness into light. But even though you and I know who He is and why He came, unless we make this real and personal to our own experience, unless we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and we walk in His light, if we don't do that, then all of this evening that we're looking at is meaningless. The hymn writer says, "No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus." This is a startling declaration. It explains prophecy. He's Israel's Messiah. It expresses deity. He claims equality with God. And it extends to humanity, because if we trust Him, we can pass from darkness into light. But let's move on, because this is what I want us to grasp this evening. There's not just a startling declaration, there's a searching definition. Jesus goes on to further substantiate His claims, and at the same time, He defines what it means to have this light. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I want you to see the implication in all of this. By speaking about the need of Him to be the light of the world, Jesus is implying that the whole world is living in great darkness. He's not only speaking about the state of men and women without Christ. He's speaking about the state of the world itself. Now, you and I know that in the days of the Savior's ministry, that the world in which He lived was in a state of spiritual darkness, but it still is. Just pause for a moment and think about this. There has been progress made on every area that you can think about as the years have come and gone. But there's one area that has never changed, and it's this: that the world is still in darkness, and that sin remains a great problem, and that many of you are still living in darkness when you could be living in the light and the liberty of the gospel of Christ. Take it politically for a moment. Great men have risen and fallen. But in so many parts of the world over the years, great progress has been made politically, scientifically. The world has produced some remarkable people with great ability who have opened up all kinds of doors for our good. Unfortunately, it has also produced a crop of men who are far too smart for their own good. People who want to play at being God. But over the years, this has all developed, and scientifically, progress has been made in so many fields, and we're grateful for much of the progress that has been made. But spiritually, nothing has really changed. The years have come and gone. One generation has risen and disappeared, and another one has come and it has disappeared, and another one after that. And all through those generations, there's one thing that has never changed, and that is the state of the human heart and the state of the world in which we live this evening. Man remains a sinful creature in the sight of a thrice holy God. You can look at him from every angle. You can talk about his makeup, and you can look at him socially and politically and in every other area. But you know what it comes down to it? The scriptures tell the truth, that a man is dead in trespasses and sins. That's how it is. You can look it, you can shape it, you can paint it, you can do whatever you like with it, but the truth remains the same. Man is not only dead in trespasses and sin. He is separated from God because of that sin. He is on a broad road tonight that's one day going to lead him to destruction because of a sin. And there's absolutely nothing that he can do to bring about change. Every man at his very best, he's deceitful and desperately wicked, he's unclean, he's already condemned, and if he remains in that state, then he's going to go out into a Christless eternity. These are true facts. And that is why tonight I bring to you the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can change what you are. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can break into that life of yours and transform it and make you what God wants you to be in order that you can have fellowship with God. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, to deal with our sin, to reconcile us to God, to put away sin by the death of himself, to satisfy the demands of God, and to bring you and me out of darkness and into his most marvelous light. That's why you need to see yourself as you really are. And that's why you need to see him for everything that he is. Because not only are you dead in trespasses and sin, separated from God and bound for a Christless eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope that you and I have. You can reject him, and you can turn your back on him, and you can choose to do your own thing and go your own way, but remember this. Without Christ, you'll remain in a sinful state, out of fellowship with God, living in the darkness of your sin, going along a road of despair and defilement, and ultimately a road to destruction. And one day you'll find yourself in the caverns of the doomed and the damned, and you chose to walk in darkness when Christ, the light of the world, had come to save you and to set you free. The only hope for you and for me is Christ. The only hope for the sinful world in which we live tonight is Christ. And if you miss him, then you miss everything that is important. The implication in all of this, the instruction in all of this, here's what he says. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now that's simple, isn't it? You just have to read it and take Jesus for what he says. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you want light, you need to come to Christ. If you want life, you need to come to Christ. Now, why Christ? Because Jesus Christ himself has said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. There are multitudes of people out in this world in which we're living. It's not just a dark world, it's a pleasure-filled world. And there are so many people who are out enjoying the world this evening and who think that they're living and they're only existing. And if you talk to them honestly and openly and personally, they would tell you that there's something better, that they need something else, but they don't know what it is. It's Christ. It's Christ. They've been drinking at broken cisterns for years. They've been trying one thing after another in order to try to find fulfillment, to try to get direction for living, and they can't find it. They need life. And friend, Christ has come that you might have life. Christ has come that he might take your life and use it and satisfy you and give you something that's worth living for. But you know what Jesus says here is important. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This following Jesus is something that some people haven't grasped. This has nothing to do with putting up your hand at a meeting and saying that you're saved and then going out to continue to live in your sin. This has nothing to do with signing a card that pledges a profession of faith to Christ and then going out to live as you like. Following after the Lord Jesus Christ means much more than that. It means we're to follow Him and Him only. It means that we're to follow Him personally and unreservedly. It means that we are to live in obedience to Him at all times. It means following the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever the cost to ourselves, and giving the reins of our lives over to Him. You say to me, but Pastor, hold on a moment. That's far too costly for me. I'm not prepared to do that. I want salvation. I want to be in heaven. I want all these things that you're talking about. This life, this light. I want all of these things. I want salvation. But I'm not prepared for that kind of a cost. Well, that's the way it is. The Lord Jesus Christ never made it easy for any to follow after Him by way of discipleship. And I'm not going to make it easy this evening. If you want God's salvation, and you want to know what it is to pass from darkness into light and have this life that is more abundant, then you'll have to follow Him and be one of His disciples. You'll have to live in obedience to Him. You'll have to leave your sin and walk in the light of His Word. You'll have to follow Him willingly and unreservedly and live a life that's worthy of the gospel that you're listening to this evening. Sometimes we sing it here, those lovely words of the hymn writer, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds in our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. You prepare tonight to leave your sin? You prepare to come to put your hand in His by faith, to hand over the reins of your life to a new master? To have this eternal life that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to give to you, that He has purchased through His own precious blood upon the cross at Calvary. You say to me tonight, well, I want to be in heaven, but I'm not going to follow Him. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that. For Jesus says, He that followeth me, he that followeth me, there's instruction in all of this. And we need to be clear about that. There are many people sitting in gospel meetings just like this. And many people who sit in church every Sunday. The sad thing is that they've never really followed Christ. They've made some kind of a profession, but they've never really got up and followed after Christ, and they don't know whether they're saved or not. And some of them are still dead in their sins and they don't know it. There's the implication in all of this, the instruction in all of this, the illumination in all of this. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There are two very important things that Jesus mentions here, light and life. Why do you and I need light? Well, if you went home this evening, you sat up for a few hours until darkness came, and you were sitting reading a book or doing something else in the home, and the lights went out and the electricity was cut off, what would you be? You'd be in darkness. You'd have to go for light, wouldn't you? And it's the same with regards to Jesus Christ. If you and I are dead in sin and we're living in darkness, then we need light. And Jesus says, but I am the light of the world. You need me. You need me. If you really want to come out of your darkness and the deadness of your sin, if you really want to leave that life behind that's leading you further away from God, then what you need is me. I am the light of the world. I'm the one that can bring you out of darkness. I'm the one can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. We need light because we're living in a state of darkness. as far as spiritual things are concerned. But we also need life, because like I've already said, we're dead in trespasses and in sins. What does that mean? It means that as far as spiritual things are concerned, you've absolutely no life whatsoever. You're dead. You need that life of yours to be regenerated. That's why the Bible talks about the new birth. You need life. You need to be born from above. You need that the deadness of your soul is given life, and only Christ Himself can impart this life to you. When Christine and I were in our first church, I remember one evening sitting, and as we sat together on that occasion, the young girl next door came running in through the back door, and she shouted and she said, "John, come quick, I think my dad's dead." And I ran out, a young fellow was with me, there was a youth meeting, and he came across, we jumped the hedge, I was fitter then and younger. And then we went round the back of the house, and there wasn't her dad, my neighbour, sitting. And his head was just propped against the wall, and his older sister was talking to him. And she looked at me and she said, "What's wrong with him?" And I said, "I'm sorry, but he's dead." Do you know, they took that man within minutes. A doctor from across the road was there. An ambulance came, and they worked for a long, long time. And they tried to bring that man around, and they couldn't, for he was dead. The one thing that he desperately needed was the one thing he no longer had, and that was life. And you're sitting in this meeting without Christ. You're dead in trespasses and in sins. You could have everything that money can buy. You could have a life that's second to none. You could have everything that you feel that you need physically and temporally. You could have everything at your disposal, and you could be sitting here tonight without the one thing that really matters in the light of eternity, and that's life. That's life. Friend, Jesus Christ has come not only to give you light and to bring you out of the darkness of your sin. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to give you life, and to give you life that's more abundant. Oh, come to the light that is shining for thee. Sweetly that light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see, because the light of the world is Jesus. That's all I have, but thank God that's all I'll ever need. Can I ask you tonight, do you want to pass from darkness into light? Do you really want a life that's worth the living? If the answer is yes, I do, then you'll have to repent of your sin and come and trust Christ for salvation. You'll find in Him light and life and everything that you need for eternity. If the answer is no, well, that's your choice, and so be it. Jesus told these people we've read of in the temple, He was the light of the world. Some trusted Him and others went away and wouldn't believe. And you can do the same. You can walk away from a meeting without Christ and continue to live in a darkened state. But just remember that you'll end up separated from God. For one of these days, your sin will carry you out into a lost eternity. And then you'll know what real darkness is, because you'll have to be, for the whole of eternity, in the darkness of a Christless hell. Jesus says tonight, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you believe him? Will you trust him? Because you can have both light and life this evening, and you'll find it in Christ. Or you can continue on in the darkness of your sin, but maybe one day lose your own soul, when you could have had Christ and all in him that you needed, and that for all of eternity. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we've been reminded tonight through the ministry in song that there is forgiveness at the cross. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the one who came that we might have life and that more abundantly, that he went to that cross and that he carried our sin with him there. Father, we pray that we might ponder this great declaration, and in realizing that the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, is waiting and willing to save each of us tonight, we pray that grace might be given, that someone might pass from darkness into light and from death unto life and find in the Lord Jesus Christ all that they need, both in time and for eternity. Bless the ministry and song and your word to our hearts this evening, and continue to challenge us about our relationship with you. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.